Luke chapter number 8. I'm telling you, I'm in the midst of making up my mind. If you ain't got much of a mind, it's hard to make it up. Luke chapter number 8, and we're going to start reading in verse number 40. And the Lord here is coming back from someplace. It says it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, you see that? He's coming back from someplace. And where he's coming back from is he's just coming back from helping somebody that need a whole lot of help. Need a whole lot of help. And so one thing you're going to notice about Jesus is really he took up his time. A lot of his time wasn't really taken up with preaching except for the fact that his life was one big sermon illustration. And it gives us plenty of material to preach about. And Jesus did some good teaching and he did some good preaching. But he was always getting himself in a place where somebody needed something. And just back to back to back to back, somebody's always going to need something. If you don't get that in your mind, you may as well quit preaching or quit trying to be a Christian of whatever sort that you are. Because the Christian ministry is really the biggest place that it's called a ministry and talked about being a ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, it says, "We beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And that's what the ministry is about, reconciling souls. And, you know, a lot of people think the church is just here to feed people and stuff like that. I tell you, if you're hungry, we will feed you. We'll help you out. That's just a good neighbor ought to do that. Amen. A good neighbor ought to do that. So we, in the church, if we're Christians, we are good neighbors. There ain't no question about that. And that's just a given, isn't it? If the Bible says if you don't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God who you haven't seen? Yep. Amen. It's a sad thing, though, that folks come to the church and they want physical help, but they don't want no help spiritually. Right. And I got a call on the phone today. Did that lady show up? I kind of didn't. I asked my wife if she wanted to bet on whether or not they'd show up, asking for money to buy food. I said, "Well, man, we got food. Just meet us up at the church at 6 o'clock. We'll give you some food." And she kept, "Well, I need to, how about a donation for cat food or dog food?" I said, "I don't know nothing about no dog food or no cat food." I said, "I'll give you a side of beef and you can feed him from the table for all I care. But I just don't know what to tell you about that." She said, "Well, maybe I'll meet you up there at 6 o'clock. I hung up the phone. I said, "You know, I'm going to go ahead and bet that person not even going to be there tonight. Bet they're not even, because they wasn't looking for food. They was probably looking for money to do some other devilment with." And I hate to think the worst of people like that, don't you? But I tell you, week after week, we run into the same kind of people. "Hey, I need money. Money for food. Money for food." And that's usually the way they approach you, because, you know, it's the magic words that makes preachers give people money and stuff like that. But preachers ain't dumb. Preachers ain't dumb. When they asked Simon Peter for some money, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." You believe that? Does anybody believe that? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you." And what he had was something better than money. He had the help that God gives. And the Lord had run into in this chapter here, chapter number 8, the demon-possessed man, or they call him the maniac of Gadara. This fellow was all messed up. Didn't wear clothes. Couldn't be tamed. Didn't have the right kind of emotions. All those things are signs of devil worship. Demonism. Maybe not devil worship. I shouldn't necessarily tag it with devil worship, but demonic influence. Possessed with the devil. Take your clothes off. You don't have the right kind of emotions. Inordinate affections is a sure sign that somebody's been messing with the devil. They cry at the wrong times. They laugh at the wrong kind. They think death is funny. They say Elvis Presley, some of y'all's God, Elvis Presley, he hung out in mortuaries and stuff like that around dead people. Yeah, well, that's demonic influence. And you know the Lord was able to help that fella. The Bible says when the townspeople come out, they found that fella clothed and in his right mind. Clothed. I wonder where he got the clothes from. I don't know if he lived nearby or he had a backpack on, and I don't know where he got the clothes. But he had them, amen. Yeah. You know what? That just goes to show if you wanted to do right, you could find what you needed to do right. Amen? People can find what they need to do what they want to do. You know that old girl tonight, didn't she tell us at first? I said, you know, can you come meet us someplace? We can get you some food. She said, I ain't got no car. When she figured out she wasn't going to get no money, I'll just come meet you up at the church at 6 o'clock. My wife said, where's the car at? I mean, I thought she didn't have no car. If I had better clothes, I'd come to church. If you wanted better clothes, you could get better clothes to go to the bingo house. You listen. Hey, you know what one of the blessings of being a Christian is? Ask and ye shall receive. God, I don't have... I mean, listen, you're not going to come here and feel any pressure to dress a certain way. Have I ever... Except for modest. Have I ever told you how to dress except for modest? But I tell you what, if you come to church here and you feel like you're not dressing adequately enough, hey, the benefits of being a Christian is ask and ye shall receive. Say, hey, boy, Lord, I really do. Hey, don't use it as an excuse to stay home. Use it as an excuse to get in, amen? Oh, Lord, I surely would like to dress better or differently or whatever it is, amen? The Lord might even, you feel like you got to dress like $1 million to come to church. The Lord might even give you, I started to say prom dress, but these prom dresses they giving out this day and time, you surely don't want to do that, amen? Absolutely not. Back when I was in high school, prom dresses looked like these Walt Disney princess dresses, head to foot. They don't look like that no more. Amen? Well, that's true. But what I'm trying to say is the Lord helped this fella. He got him dressed when there wasn't even no dresser drawers around for him to get no clothes out of. But all of a sudden, the man had clothes. Amen? Lord, provide whatever you need. And the fellow, the Bible says he was in his right mind. I bet that was a great blessing to him. Have you ever just been out of your mind? I told you this morning, you're worse than bipolar. You're tripolar. Every single one of you are. Just don't let no doctor start giving you pills for it. You won't never recover. You know what's good for some people, Brother Curtis, that they just get to their rope's end. And I hope. For the most part, I mean, for most people, I hope they get right before they get to the end of their rope. But a lot of people get to the end of their rope. You know, you're never going to get right till you get desperate about a thing. Even if it's something you like to do and you ain't desperate about it and you ain't really worried about it, you're never going to quit doing something until you really just get downright under conviction about that thing. And start calling out to God, boy, Lord, I'm sorry I did that again. Well, the first 5 or 6 times you say that, I don't much believe it. You just realize that he's digging on your heart every time you do it, and that begins to work on you. Well, I'm sorry about it, Lord. Are you? Are you really sorry about it? You know, I try to be honest with the Lord, and I've told you this 1 million times, but the sins I'm not really repenting about, I just say, Lord, I heard that sermon you just sent my way. And I don't really care much about that. I don't really agree too much. I mean, I agree, but my heart ain't really in the mood to get right about that thing yet. Well, I pray, God, you'd help me to get right. Change my heart. Help me get fixed on that thing. And the Lord will do that thing. And the Lord's still doing that in my life. I got saved in the midst of the 70s, in the middle of the 70s. And all these years later, the Lord's still working on my heart and trying. Well, you ain't all there yet. Amen. You ain't all there yet. There's still more to do. Amen. Still more to get right. And so what you find here in Luke chapter 8 is the Lord takes care of this fellow that's demon possessed. And you know, some people would think, you know, that's what we really need. If God would just help all the demon possessed people. Well, you know, there's people that's got more problems than just being demon possessed. Yeah. Amen. Lots of stuff. You know, you think, well, you know, I only drink one beer a month. That ain't too bad. Well, you need help with that. Amen? You need help with a lot of stuff. I only watch one R-rated movie per week. That's all I allow myself. Well, you need help with that. Just a little bit of immodesty. Well, you need help with that. Amen? And I said all that to say this. The good thing about the Lord is that He's just going from one place to the next, helping somebody, helping the next person in line. Amen? He says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Let's pray right there. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach tonight. And my voice is a little bit gone from preaching this morning, but I pray, God, you'd help me and strengthen me to be able to preach tonight. Help me to say what needs to be said out of this passage. And I thank you and praise you for everything that you do. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. I feel a little bit different spirit here tonight, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if you didn't get your nap out, or maybe you got too much of a nap this evening. I don't know about that. Don't care about that. Don't really care what your spirit is. I'm going to preach. Amen. I got a message to preach that the Lord wants me to preach, I believe. And so I'm going to go ahead and preach it with as much enthusiasm as I can. Amen. And what I want you to see here this morning, you know, I talked to you this morning a little bit about the very thing that took place in this passage of Scripture right here. There was a woman, it says in verse 43, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. It said, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Boy, that's a word right there. That's a word. It stanched, amen. I don't know if that means stink or sounds to me like it dried up or healed up. Some of these big words, we don't, you got to look them up to see what exactly. But I don't think there's no trouble in figuring out what he means as it got healed, amen. Amen. But that's a real country boy word right there. Amen. It says the issue of blood stanched, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What kind of question is that? Who's going to be able to answer that? Looks like everybody touched you. Now listen, what I want to point out to you here tonight is, here comes Jesus back from Gadara, and he's just helped this man. Matter of fact, by helping this man over here across the sea there, and when he goes over there and he helps that man, that made the whole town mad. It seems like that's what happens when the Lord starts working. At the same time, people start getting mad. And that's one of the things you're going to have to look out for in the Christian life, is that when God starts moving, people, it's going to start getting mad. And when you start preaching the gospel, people's going to get mad. And when you start telling the truth, people's going to get mad. The Calvinists are always going to be mad at the Arminians, and the Catholics are always going to be mad at the Baptists, and the Lutherans are always going to be upset with the Presbyterians. But at the heart of that mostly is when somebody sees that God's starting moving, boy, and it ain't just exactly right with what they was taught by their grandma, people start getting upset. And here comes this fella, boy. The Lord told him not to be messing with hogs over there in Israel. Don't be eating none of this pork or nothing else. I always wondered what that herd of swine was doing over there. What in the world was it doing there in the first place? The Lord, they couldn't eat it. You reckon they had an underground ham sandwich racket going on? Now, they outlawed booze in America, and they went to the underground. They had Al Caponestein over there in Israel selling illegal ham sandwiches. That must have been what was going on. Amen. They had a herd of swine over there. They had that for some reason. Well, God gets over there and starts dealing with the man, casts the demons out of him. He gets right in his right mind. Those demons jump right in the thing he knows, that devil knows, is going to disturb the peace. Amen. Get rid of their cash crop. Get rid of their illegal goods, and people start getting upset about that thing. Well, you know what they told him? They told him, you need to get out of here. That's what they told him. The Bible says that group of people said, the Bible says they besought him to remove himself from their coast. You need to just get out of here. Things was fine before you showed up. Now you got men over here going out of their mind. Everything ain't all right. You know, people think everything's all right, but everything's falling apart all around. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. How can you not see that things ain't right? You say, well, I believe the Bible and everything's falling apart around me. What makes you think that just believing the Bible makes you okay? I think we all need to dig a little deeper, don't we? Yeah. See what else is going on. Amen. But the Lord took care of his problem, made everybody mad. About like what we're going around here, have two or three people stand up and say, boy, God really convicted my heart and I had to quit. Now I don't need to know what you, and nobody else needs to know what you quit, but boy, the Lord helped me. And the Lord helped me get some things cleaned up out of my life. Before you know it, somebody'd raise a stink. Somebody'd get mad. Somebody'd get upset. We've had people get mad, get upset, and get out of here. But at the same time, God was working in a good way. God was moving in a good way. And Jesus comes back from this place, as it says in verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Well, when's the last time you had that attitude towards the Lord? It said they gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, part of this crowd that's waiting for him. The Bible says he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Now, all these synagogue goers, they weren't too friendly with Jesus. They weren't too friendly with the Lord. But I tell you what will really get down deep to your heart is when something starts going wrong down at your own house. Yeah. Everything's well and good. Everything's well and good when it's just everybody else's problems. But when the problem gets down at your house, you'll get to where you don't mind going and falling at his feet. Yeah. Amen. Amen. A lot of people, listen, we're a church, ain't we? Yeah. Yes, sir, we're a church. There ought not to be no hesitancy to say praise the Lord. There ought not to be no hesitancy to say I'm a poor sinner. There ought not to be no hesitancy. There ought not to be no hesitation. If I said, hey, Brother Chris, how about praying? Boy, there ought not be no hesitation about that. You know, hey, why don't you pray for us over the offering? Why don't you, how about coming up here and preaching a sermon sometime? There'll not be no hesitation about that. Well, you know, I just don't feel called to do that. I don't feel like it's my place to, you know, say amen too loud. And I don't feel like it's my place. You know, I just pray in my own house and I don't need to pray down here at this church. I don't need to pray in front of y'all. I bet when that junk starts visiting your house, you've come down to the house and go, Lord, I'll do anything. Yeah. Yeah, amen? Yeah. Amen. I'll do it. Oh, y'all have them anointing services around here and pour oil on people's head and expect God to help them, and God will help you. Yeah. If God don't heal your body perfectly, He'll give you grace to go through it. And in my opinion, yeah, both of those is healing. If I'm going out of my mind because something's going wrong in my body and God helps me get over going out of my mind, that's healing whether you like it or not. Yeah. God told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, I just don't feel like praying in public and I'm just not the kind of guy that would ever do that. When the doctor says it's terminal, I bet you get down on the altar and say, oh God, help me. I'd be willing to do anything. Now, I'm not saying you got to do that. I'm not saying you have to do that. But I'm saying that people will do a lot of things they wouldn't normally do. Those fellas, those rulers of the synagogue didn't hang around Jesus' house too much. And they didn't hang around Jesus too much to where they could get their reputation tarnished in front of the Pharisees. I mean, that just wasn't good news. But when his daughter got sick, he was right down there. He didn't just come down there and say, hey, would you mind just secretly ducking over to my house for a few minutes? No, he come down, got down on his knees in front of him and said, hey, I need some help over here. Amen. That's when you know somebody's got you by the beard right there. Somebody gets you by the beard, there ain't much you can do. Amen. Amen. But you know what? He's coming back from helping somebody, and lo and behold, he's on his way to go help somebody. That's just what the Lord's doing. Amen. You sat around all week in your little study, not talking to nobody, just reading the Bible so you can do what you need to do. That's not the business that the Lord's in. Amen? The Lord's not just in the business of talking to you while you're in your creepy little back room. Right. I got a little office that's in my closet. I was sitting in there the other day looking around and I was like, man, it's creepy back here. I'm getting outside. Go outside. Little creepy old man sitting in his closet, little bearded fiend. I'm outside. Got to go outside, man. Go outside and mow the yard for fun or something like that. Amen. But you know, there's creepy little people just like that sitting around nitpicking at preachers and trying to find a verse to prove somebody wrong about something. Stop reading your Bible. The Lord, listen, the Lord trying to minister to somebody and trying to help somebody. Amen. Amen. That's what's going on right here. And it says, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Well, there's a pretty good thought right there. When's the last time you asked the Lord in? Well, the Lord don't ever do nothing for me. Well, when's the last time you invited him in? You see these little witch doctors and voodoo people on TV, and they're going around, they're burning their little candles and their incense, and they're trying to bless this room, and they're trying to bless this room, and they want to, they're going to say a prayer of blessing over this little attic space or something like this. We just want to have a blessed house. Hey, quit burning candles. You might burn your house down with that junk. Hey, how about getting down on your knees and say, God, how about moving into my house with me? That would be blessed. Amen? I went in a place one time, and this fellow was always talking about how he loved the Lord and how everything was wonderful and how everything, you know, how he just wanted the Lord to bless him and to bless his home and to bless his kids and all this stuff. And finally, I went over to his house and went over into his house, and there's all kinds of rock and roll, demonic rock and roll posters all over the house and peace signs and all kinds of stuff like that. That ain't how you get your house blessed. I mean, you can get your long-haired punk rocking stuff out of, I mean, that stuff don't go. Amen. That's a curse. Yes, you got a peace sign hanging in your house, that's a curse. Amen. That's a broken cross. That's a satanic, rebellious junk. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and that peace sign ain't nothing but a rebellious 60s rock and roll demonic symbol of rebellion. If you got that junk in your house, on your school book bag, in your school notebook, tattooed on your forehead, I don't know where you got it or what you got that goes along with it, but it's a curse on you and yours. Amen. And I don't even wear, see that cross right there? I wouldn't even wear that on a necklace. You say, why not? Because the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. I don't want a curse hanging on me. So, the glory of the cross. The glory of the cross is Jesus paid for your sins there.
That's right.
Amen. That's right, whether you like it or not. That's just the truth of the matter. Amen. I want God to bless my house. Well, pray and ask him to come in. But people don't want to do it that way. They'd have to put their 12-pack out. Yeah. That's right. The Bible says God has holier eyes than to look upon sin. Amen. Here's old Jairus, though. I'm glad God's a merciful man. He comes in. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He falls down at Jesus' feet, besought him that we'd come to his house. You know what the Lord did? You know, I wouldn't be surprised that all these people, Jesus would go to the synagogue. You know what he would do? He would heal people around there. And everybody in charge of those synagogues would get all, you know, puffed up. Hey, this is Sabbath day. You can't be healing around here. I would tell Jesus what he can do. Just do what he wants to do. One day he just told him straight out, and I love it when he does this. He goes, hey, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Blasphemy, blasphemy. He showed him, didn't he? He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Then people get upset. It wouldn't be very much of a stretch of the imagination to have thought that maybe a week before, or maybe 2 weeks before, or maybe 3 weeks before, Jairus might have been one of them fellows that down at the synagogue going, hey, this man's a blasphemer. You know what those fellows that called him a blasphemer? Hey, that's not too big of a stretch of an imagination. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they were going, Hosanna! Hosanna! The next week they were going, crucify him. Yeah. Yes, sirree. But it wouldn't be too much of a stretch of the imagination to know that just 1 week before, Jairus was over there going, hey, this man's a blasphemer. This man right here is healing on the Sabbath. We don't know if we ought to allow this man to live or not. You know, one day they took him and took him out to the edge of a cliff, going to throw him off. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. I didn't say he was one of them. I just said it wouldn't surprise me a bit to think that he was. Have you ever been in the place where you was doing something downright blasphemous? Boy, I can tell you I've been there 100,000 times. Just doing what I wanted to do and just lose track of my silly little mind and living up to whatever my expectation of a good time was, and then it wouldn't be but just a day or a week or a month. I was down at the feet of Jesus going, God, would you please come over here and fix the mess that I've made down at my house? And ain't it good that we got a graceful God and a long-suffering God that'll go ahead and say, yeah, I mean, Jesus probably, when if that is the case, and Jairus was one of those people that was calling him blasphemous and asking him why he was doing all this stuff on the Sabbath and, you know, just joining in the ridicule, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if when he said, would you come down to my house, if the Lord just locked eyes with him and said, yeah. And every word that he had said, every thought that he had thought, probably come to his mind. Just like it does for you and me when we finally get down and start asking the Lord to help us. And that thought comes up in our mind, man, what I looked at, what I saw, what I thought, what I said, the intents of my, I mean, oh man. That I just told you about that lady calling today, and when we got off the phone, I was thinking, man, that lady ain't wanting to do nothing but, you know, get over on the church. Even just, I mean, it's true. More than likely, it's true. But at the same time, the Lord said, well, you're going to be a Christian. You're going to be God over on sometimes. Huh? How did Simon Peter get in the book of Acts, how did he keep a good attitude when they kept locking him up in jail? How did the Lord keep that? I mean, the Lord, you've got to admit, the Lord Jesus Christ had a good attitude, man. They come at him constantly. You're born of an adultery. Your mama's an adulteress. And you don't do this right. You're not a good Sabbath keeper. You're a Sabbath breaker. And you're a wine bibber. And all this stuff, they just kept coming at him with it. Kept coming at him with it. And the Lord always just gave him an answer and closed their mouth and walked on. It's hard to close your mouth and walk on, ain't it? You know what? I believe that lady I was talking with on the phone today, I believe she got down on her knees and started calling on God today. God walked with her right to her house. Amen. Amen. He said, would you come down at my house and take care of the situation that I got going on? Jesus said, lead the way. And they start going. And listen, at the same time, the Bible done told you they was glad to see him. They're all pressing around him. And you know what he ends up doing? He ends up helping somebody on his way to help somebody else. You know, some of you folks, the Lord might have been on his way to save somebody else when he saved you. Lord said, oh, I hear this fellow over here in Indonesia calling my name. And while he's on his way over there to take care of Indonesian fellow that needs to be saved, he heard old Chris Brooks calling over here. Oh, old Chris is calling too.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, something's going on. As he's going down the street, people is, you know, they're treating him. This world does Michael Jackson like that. Of course, not anymore. Amen. This world gets around the stage and throngs these idiots that waste their lives in foolishness. The king of pop. You ain't the king of nothing. Amen? Being a king didn't help you stay out of the grave, did it? No, sir. Money. I talked to you about that in Sunday school this morning. You're chasing all this money and chasing all this fame and chasing all this popularity, and you want to be the best this and the best that. One of these days they're going to roll you over in a bucket and put you in the ground. Amen. The Lord said this morning, I read it this morning in the scripture, he said, then whose will those things be? Right. Fellow says, hey, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to pull down the barns I got. And then I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to put all my goods in there. And he says, thou fool, this day shall thy soul be required of thee. And then, who's all this junk going to be? Amen? The book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes said some fool's going to get it and spend it like it's going out of style. Some of you folks spent 80, 90 years saving up all this money and all this stuff, and when you die, somebody's going to come along and spend it in 3 weeks. Amen?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Because people ain't got enough sense to do nothing with nothing. If they did, they'd already have it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you this, before you die, make out a will and leave it to somebody that's already rich. You said, Brother Mike, I don't think that's... The Lord's going to do that. He said, to him that hath, be given to him. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Plus, it's right for you to do whatever you want to with your stuff. So that's up to you. Amen? Amen. I don't know how I got off on Michael Jackson. I'm kind of mad because even Christians are chasing after junk like that. Amen. If it's not Michael Jackson, it's some Christian person that's trying to be like Michael Jackson. They're trying to get a following or something like that. Listen, the Christian life is not about gaining fame and fortune. The Christian life is not going about trying to get people to like you. Amen. Really, if you're a Christian, you're serving the Lord, it really don't matter if people like you or not.
Amen.
I'm not talking from any prideful way at all. I'm talking about from the standpoint of being a gospel minister. The product that you have to minister. Listen, the people need that. The minister, listen, the minister don't need the person he's ministering to. The person that he's ministering to needs the minister. Now, you can take that wrong if you want to. You can take that proud. You can take that conceited. But listen, gospel ministers have come to the place where they're going around trying to win a popularity contest with everybody so they can get the biggest crowd, so they can get the biggest number of professions, so they can be the biggest number one. But that's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to go out and present the gift of God. It's a gift that comes from God. It's on God's terms. You present it on God's terms. And if people don't like that, then they don't like Jesus. Well, I don't like this old-fashioned hymn stuff, and I don't like this old-fashioned preaching. But if you'll tone it down a little bit and put some drums behind your music, I'll like that just fine. Well, the only problem with that, then it'll be your music. It won't be God's music. I like my preachers to sound like a psychologist. Then that'll be your preaching. It won't be God's preaching. Just read that old King James Bible and see if it ain't the truth. From Genesis to Revelation, the preacher jumps up on pews and yells and spits in people's faces. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, you're the man. It seems like God don't even want to send a preacher by somebody's way unless it's negative. Hey, you, it's you right there. That's who it is, it's you. Amen. I listen to preaching. If I ain't got my feelings hurt in the first 4 or 5 minutes, I just turn it off. Oh, he ain't saying nothing. He ain't saying nothing. Oh, Brother Mike, don't give me that baloney. Don't give me that baloney. Hey, help me. Help me get right. Amen. Amen. Well, I hated to get sidetracked on Michael Jackson. It just burns me up that people put their... We've got so few brain cells already. It just makes me upset that people actually put part of their brain cells, invest part of their brain cells into a fella that whose whole life ambition looks like it was just to turn out to be a mannequin of some actress. That don't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? But no doubt, I bet some of you every once in a while turn on your little record player when nobody's at home to listen to you. You're in there doing the Michael Jackson dance, moonwalking. You ever come home and caught John moonwalking? Thriller! I mean, he talks like a girl and sings. I don't know why any man would go listen to something like that. Boy, it sure is quiet in here, bunch of Michael Jackson lovers. I'm gonna let that just sink in right there, man. You. That's partly what's wrong with the men in this world today.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right. Sitting around letting other men sing love songs to you.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
No, sir.
Listen, if I was going to listen to rock music, or if I was going to listen to country music, if I'm going to listen to a love song, it's going to be from a woman. Ain't going to be from no man.
But
how would you feel? Listen, fellas, how would you feel if I was to come over to you right now and lean over to you and say, with all my heart, I love you so. I thought about you all day. Well, if that would be kind of weird, why would you pay good money to go to a concert and listen to the fella sing it to you and 25,000 other men? And then the same weirdos that pays another man to sing to them like that got to go down to the psychiatrist's office and sit there with your nerves half shot. I'm having these tendencies. I don't know where they come from. I don't know if I'm a man or a woman. Well, you just spent 25 years getting sung to by a man. Does that make sense to anybody but me? They say that, well, we got more homosexuals, they're all coming out of the closet. No wonder. You've been sitting around for 50 years now listening to Love Me Tender by Elvis Presley.
That's right.
You should have been listening to Loretta Lynn or something like that. Amen. That's right, whether you like it or not. That's right, whether you like it or not. Sit around and listen to that stuff all day, every day. It's about hate. It's about anger. It's about love. It's about killing. It's about living. It's about loving. It's about hating. It's just such a myriad of stuff. You take it in every day and you come home at night. I just don't know what to think anymore. My mind's being pulled in so many different directions. What in the world's going on with me? Turn the radio off, dummy!
Yeah.
Quit idolizing people that can't get a job at McDonald's.
Right. That's good preaching.
I really need Sean Penn to tell me who to vote for because I can't make up my own mind. The guy works in a sandbox. He plays make-believe all day. Now, when this thing snaps, you run around that corner and stick your play gun out and go pow, pow, and this other guy's going to go, ooh, ooh. No, that didn't look real enough. You gotta go, ugh. No, take three. When he shoots you, you gotta kind of go, ugh, and then fall slowly. Hey, I did that in the third grade. Me and my brothers did that in the third grade. I didn't make $1 million for it. Listen, drive to North Georgia. Get out, pour Kool-Aid and ketchup all over yourself and walk around. You do know they made that in North Georgia, don't you? Walking Dead. Half of you brain dead anyway. And then you can't sleep at night. Something's wrong with me. I don't know. Well, quit watching Ghost Hunters all night and quit watching Walking Dead all day. I mean, if you're going to do that, then don't be surprised if you get worried every once in a while. Yeah. Amen?
Christ.
I don't know what's wrong with me. The Lord never speaks to me anymore. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Hey! Invite Him in. Look for Him.
Yeah.
All these people thronging. Listen, and Jesus put it straight to those people. He had already talked to that crowd before. This crowd we're reading about here. If you read the whole story, Jesus leaves and goes over. He lands on that other shore, and this crowd of people comes to him and they say, "Hey, where you been? We've been looking for." They looked at. They got up in the morning and started counting ships. How's he gone? None of these other ships have left. Where's he at? Because they saw the disciples leave. So they said, "Well, let's get us some ships too. We got to go find out where he is." They come over there and say, "Hey, Jesus, we were looking for you." He said, "You was looking for food." Well, Jesus comes back across and they're there waiting for him. "Hey, Jesus." And they're all thronging him and stuff and pulling on him. And out of all that crowd, he's on his way to go help somebody else. And out of all that crowd, somebody walks up to him, just like I was talking about this morning, and grabs a hold of his garment. And she'd been trying to get help from doctors. And she spent all of her money and nothing worked. Listen, she done gave all of her money to these doctors and they didn't help them out. Didn't help them a bit. There ain't no telling how much money Christians have put into these big doctors. They ain't never got help one. Never got help one. Listen, you hear the pitch, don't you, on television? We'd like you to be our partners. Listen, I'll tell you one missionary, and it could be a bunch of them, but I'm telling you one missionary we'd never have come be a part of this church. One that puts out this spiel about, hey, we'd like you to partner with us to go over to Africa, and we'd like you to be our partner. That's a guaranteed no. All you got to do is use the word partner, and the word no is going to come spilling from my lips. I might even be trying to be nice and just, no. I really don't want to be rude, but listen, no. I can't even think of their names. I don't even know their names anymore. John Hagee, which some of y'all probably think is a good preacher. He is a good preacher when he's not lying. Joyce Meyer, the best man preacher on television. She's the best man preacher on television.
Oh, turn your Bibles today. Don't matter which Bible. They're all good.
That woman hates the King James Bible like the day is long. But I like what she's saying. Well, you and her can both go where the devil is. That's a nice way of saying it, ain't it?
We'd like you to be our partner. This is Joyce Meyer. We'd like you to be our partner. We'd like for you to help us to get the gospel around the world.
She lives in a $12 million house. I thought you was her partner. Where's your half of the money? Hey, legally, partners split up the dividends. Be my partner. Be my partner. That's just a nice way of saying, hey, suckers, we need another jet.
That's right. Amen.
But people listen to that stuff and eat it up and soak it up because they don't know who the real Jesus is. And out of all the throngs of this world and all the people running around just Jesus fanatics, like these people that only cared about the food, the material things, I'll tell you one great indication that you're a real Christian, somebody that really loves the Lord, is you care more than just feeling good. Christianity will mean more to you than just eating. Amen? Well, these doctors she had been going to, they said, hey, we'll charge you $500 and I think we can help you out. You know what I bet? They didn't help her out, and I bet you they didn't give her money back either. Well, she didn't have no money at this point, did she? Doctors are about as bad as lawyers. Amen? Well, they took her money. They probably didn't give her money back when they weren't able to get help, so they just left her all alone. That's what Christianity is doing to most people today. Say, so, hey, come on in, and hey, just give to the Lord, and just be the best person you can be, and everything's going to be all right. But listen, sometimes you try to be the best Christian you can, and everything still ain't all right, is it? I would dare to say that there's probably 5,000 preachers, independent Baptist, Bible believing, King James waving preachers tonight that from their own pulpits, whatever they do in their pulpits, their business, they're going to have to answer to God for that. But I guarantee you they got their Bibles held high, telling people how they can get over depression and how they can get over this and how they can get over that. And the people are sitting there so desperate that they're probably sitting there shaking their head, yes, preacher, that's exactly what I'm going through. Oh, amen, hallelujah. And when they leave the building tonight, they're not going to be no more better than they was when they come in the place, because they haven't dealt with the first issue that causes stuff like that. Right. Amen. It's not a sore tooth or a big toe. It's S-I-N. Yeah. The only source of grief on this planet is sin. If you'd help them with that, they'd get help with their mental condition.
Yep.
Right. Amen. Amen. That's a God's honest truth. Every grief I've ever felt came from sin.
Yep.
Every pain I've ever felt come from sin. Every heartache I've ever imagined or ever felt come from sin. Every one of my relatives that ever died from sin.
Amen.
Amen. Every preacher I've ever known that died from sin.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's what the problem is. The problem is sin. We ought to fight against it.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, we're going to wake up tomorrow sinners. We'll fight tomorrow too.
Amen.
Don't let that discourage you none.
Right.
Guess what? The third day from now, you're going to wake up a sinner too.
Right.
You say, what do I do then? Fight it then. Just keep fighting it. These preachers, oh, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. We trust the Lord, don't we? We trust the Lord. Please trust God. Put your faith in God. Trust God. Put your faith in God. Trust God. How many times have you heard that? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, how, I'm going to give you the paraphrased version, okay? The Bible says, how dare you come up to a man that's destitute and food and say, God bless you, be warmed and fed. And not give him something to get warm and get fed from. How dare you do that? You're a devil. A man that would come up to you and say, boy, I hate to see you starving like that. I'm going to give you a blessing from my Father that says that you'll get something to eat this week. God bless you. Have a good day. How dare you do that? Put your money in your pocket, take him down to McDonald's and get him a hamburger.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. How dare you as a preacher get behind the pulpit and say, now we don't want to talk about your own sinful condition. That's just negative. We want to talk about the good. No, jump up on the pulpit and preach to them till they're ashamed to do what they're doing. Holler at them, scream at them, make them feel about this small, because I'm telling you what, sin will squash you smaller than that. I gave you the illustration this morning about grabbing my wife around the neck. If you saw me doing that, you'd try to affect some kind of relief from that kind of a treatment. Well, why in the world wouldn't a preacher want to jump on something like that? If I saw sin was abiting you and sin was killing you and sin was trying to drag you through the ditch, I'd have to tell you about it. Whether you liked it or not, I'd have to tell you about it. You ain't going to get no help. How much cough medicine do you like? Lord, have mercy. Don't get me started right there. Some people drink cough medicine because they can't afford liquor.
That's right. Exactly right.
Don't they do that?
Right.
I don't know if I don't know if anybody knows anything about that or not. I mean, this generation's eating Tide Pods. Did you know, I had an uncle, a great uncle, it was my daddy's uncle. He was an alcoholic. He had a stroke and he couldn't get around no more. So what he'd do is he'd have his granddaughter bring him NyQuil. Oh, I need NyQuil. I've got these headaches and stuff like that. But he wasn't taking it for no headache. He's drinking it for liquor. That's the way them old drunks up there in the mountain do that kind of stuff. Well, what you got, listen, what you got is a bunch of people that just got symptoms, they got problems, they got things going wrong in their life, and they just don't want to take the medicine. I remember that as a kid. Now, I'm not talking about winos and NyQuil addicts. Now, I'm talking about real honest-to-goodness people that's just trying to get some relief. Medicine tastes bad. Even the stuff they advertise on the label, this is yummy tasting. Your kids are guaranteed to like it. How come they don't drink it like Kool-Aid then? Because it tastes bad. That's why. Lord have mercy. You know what I see? The funny thing that I see is women trying to feed babies. Listen, ladies, take that Gerber baby food and throw it in the dumpster. And mash up some oatmeal or some peanut butter or some bananas or something like that and give your little kid. Because that junk you're trying to force feed that brat out of that Gerber baby bottle tastes like poop. I sat there and watched a woman feeding her. I think it was Ruth's sister. She was trying to feed her baby that stuff out of the bottle and that baby was gone. That's how I know people don't like my preaching.
Right.
They're not doing that because they love its wonderful taste. They're doing that because it tastes bad.
That's right.
Huh? But that's the only way you can grow.
Yeah.
Reese is the weirdest kid I know. He don't like hamburger meat, but he likes carrots. I'm like, that's a strange kid. That kid's got rhyming in him right there. Boy, like any boy that likes carrots, a little bit weird. When you try to give me a carrot, boy, I'll eat it sometimes, but it ain't my favorite food. But listen, you take that medicine, it tastes bad, but you need the medicine. Even the Bible says you need medicine. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Well, sometimes the preaching ain't going to be what you want, but listen, the power's there. That Jesus is walking through that crowd and that woman just reaches out and grabs the hem of his garment, and guess what? It healed her so fast she felt bad about it. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She went. Everybody else is saying, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at all these people. They're all grabbing on you. You want to ask?" He said, "No, I felt power leave." He said, "I felt virtue." That's what virtue is. It's strength. It's power. And that woman's going, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." Here she is, healed. First time she's ever been healthy in years. First time that she's felt good in years, and was instantaneous. The power of God comes in. Bam, I'm better. She's like, "Oh, let me go run 5 miles." He said, "Who touched me?" Oh, she probably bent back over and started acting sick again. Weren't me. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she owns up and says, "It was me." She said, "I knew if I could just grab the hem of your garment, everything would be all right." He goes, "Oh, lady." He said, "You ain't got to be afraid about that." He said, "That's good." He said, "That's good." He said, "That's good." Look, he said, in verse number 46, he said, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she was hiding. When she saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." See, that it's not necessarily going up. Listen, you don't need, and this took place in the Bible, but listen, you don't need somebody to rub sweat on their napkin and mail it to your house in order to get you healed. Listen, you personally can go and get a hold of the hem of his garment, and that virtue will come out. That virtue, listen, your faith can extract power from God. That's exactly what. Listen, the charismatics preach all this junk. They miss that. Hey, that's what I would preach if I was a charismatic right there. Hey, have faith in God. That's where you get a hold of the power. Jesus said, "Hey, I felt some power leave right there." Amen? And you ought to be glad about it too. That's me. That's me right there. I got help, amen. Because some of you needed it. Some of you used to be drunkards. Boy, when you got tired of that life, you reached out and grabbed the hem of that garment. You had to pray about it. I'm not saying you didn't pray about it, but once you prayed about it, that was just like reaching out and just grabbing the hem of his garment. Amen? And once you did, that power come out and said, "Oh, I don't think I'll have no drink tomorrow.
That's right.
I think I'll be all right."
Yes, sir.
Hey, I fought with quitting that chewing tobacco. Fought it a long time. Fought it a real long time. Never did win that battle till I got good and mad about it. But one day I took that thing and said, "Lord, I'm not going to do this no more." Threw it out the window. Littered. In the name of Jesus. It seemed like the Lord out there in glory somewhere went, "Somebody just quit chewing tobacco." I said, "That's me." Ain't no use in hiding it, amen. That was me. Because
right.
He ain't mad at you.
Right.
Some preachers act like God's mad that all these preachers is preaching against sin. God ain't mad at you for quitting sin. Well, you think you're just a Pharisee. You're just a legalist. I bet God likes legalists better than illegalists, don't you?
Right.
Hey, well, I have actually heard people say, "You know, I quit doing this, and the Lord really dealt with me about that, and I quit doing it." I have heard other Christians actually jump on them. You don't have to quit to be spiritual. No, you don't have to quit to be spiritual. You know, you can chew tobacco and still get stuff out of the Bible. Some preachers drink. You wouldn't believe that, but some preachers still take a little nip every once in a while. Not recommending that you do it. But that fellow said, "Well, you don't have to quit anything to be spiritual." No, you don't quit to be spiritual. But if you're spiritual, you'll quit some things. I promise you that. See, any fool can see that something's right or wrong, but a spiritual man sees the value in laying it aside. Paul said, this is a Bible verse that's hard to believe, Tommy, but Paul said, all things are lawful for me. Now, all things, I think he should have specified what he was talking about, don't you? Because that's kind of confusing. Isn't that confusing? All things are lawful for me. How about white liquor? Did he exclude that? Well, did he or didn't he? All things. Having Michael Jackson sing to you at midnight. Well, that's got to be excluded because Michael Jackson he's not right. Well, how did you know that? Did you get spiritual by quitting listening to Michael Jackson, or did you quit because God gave you some sense about it? You say, where'd that sense come from? I grabbed a hold of his garment. Some of his virtue got it. All of a sudden, Michael Jackson not virtuous. Lo and behold, what should I do? You know, I like this when somebody gets saved. I always like it, Brother Mike, but I'm always in the back of my mind thinking, this ain't necessary. People come to the preacher for counseling. Preacher, I'd like got some questions I need to ask you. And sometimes I'll think, oh, here we go. Because I know what's going on because I can see it. I can see it when they come to church. I can see what's going on behind their eyeballs. God's starting to deal with them about some things. And hey, God's dealing you about some things. Come talk to me. I'd be glad to talk to you.
Yeah.
They'll come and say, hey, I got some questions. Oh, I've been kind of feeling awkward about this thing I'm doing. And I'm wondering if I should quit it. In the back of my mind, before they even start talking, I'm like, man, you can answer your own question. God's already given you the noggin up here. You already see what's wrong with it. Otherwise, listen, people that are lost don't walk around going, hey, I wonder if killing people are bad. Hey, I wonder if I should have sold that crack to that 13-year-old kid the other day. People are not thinking that. People know that. You get saved and get a hold of God's virtue and you say, man, I don't reckon I ought to be watching this X-rated stuff no more.
Right. Right.
Oh, you're a legalist. I got a brain between my head. Got a hold of God's virtue, and God's virtue says, that ain't right. The flesh gets weak and you start looking at stuff you shouldn't do. You spend the next 3 days, I don't know why I'm so anxious. Because you live in a life of sin, that's why. Forsake it. Ask God to forgive you about that. Well, I might fall back into it. Worry about that when it comes. If that day comes, get out the same way you got out the last time. God, help me with this again. How many of you know absolutely for certain that you've asked God to get you out of stuff? He got you out of stuff and you fell back into stuff. Then you went back to Him again. He helped you the second time too. And He's helped you the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. And the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian after Christ that ever has lived, he said, the things I hate is the very things I do. But it's my faithful God that comes and gets me out of it every single time. Every single time. You say, what is it? Virtue. You can only get it one place. It's not like Walmart. No offense, but it's not like Walmart. You just can't get it everywhere. You got to go directly to Him to get it. Brother Mike, I'd like you to get me in touch with the grace of God. Well, I can preach about it, and I can tell you that it exists, but you're going to have to go get in the crowd. And you're going to have to fight some people that's just there for show. You're going to have to fight for position with people that's just there to get another loaf of bread or some more fish. But you can get through that crowd, and you can get your eyes fixed on the Lord, and when you get up next to Him, you ain't got to know His father's name. You don't have to know if he's a sinner or no. Hey, that one fellow said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but I know I ain't blind no more. Hey, you can learn that stuff later on. But if you know He's the one to go to help, just reach in there and get a hold of His shirt and grab a hold of it. The Lord will say, somebody just quit watching pornography. That's me. Somebody just quit drinking beer. Hey, that is me. That is me, amen. Next thing you know, you'll be down at the church house standing up on the pew going, I got some help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, I could never do that. You do that at Led Zeppelin.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what. This is just my personal fleshly opinion that shouldn't go any further than this, but I think Led Zeppelin's the greatest rock band there's ever been. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be caught dead standing in front of that stage jumping up and down shouting for them when I couldn't come down the house of God to one that saved my soul.
Yes, sir.
And got the fifth a day of Jack Daniels I was drinking in the Marine Corps out of my system. If I couldn't stand up for a man that would deliver me from a bottle a day of pure distilled death, if I couldn't holler and jump up and down in front of him and say hallelujah, I wouldn't dare go down in front of a long-haired punk and jump up and down because he could play a guitar real good. Any dunce on the street half stoned out of his mind can play a set of drums or a guitar. There's only one man in this earth that can dish out the kind of virtue that'll set your life straight. Amen? So you tell me where we ought to be shouting at. Huh? Any bum from the worst neighborhood with absolutely no upbringing at all can take a football and run it 100 yards. Any bum can do that. There's only one place you can go to where he can give you a right mind and set you back on your feet again, give you another chance. There's only one place you can go for that. There's only one place you can go. And that's, listen, some of you need to get just, I don't know where, listen, go to your house, get in your bedroom. I don't care where you go to do it at, down by the riverside. Where go stand in the middle of the Walmart if you got to and just jump up and down and say, he helped me! He helped me! Hallelujah, he helped me! And then when they lock you up, call me and I'll come get you because that's what they're going to do. Amen, but who cares? Who cares? Amen. Who cares what they think after he's done what he's done for me? I wouldn't surprise me a bit if after that woman found out she wasn't in trouble for getting right. Hey, you got tired of sin, you tried to get that stuff messed up, trying to get that stuff out of your life, and God help you get that stuff out of your life. Hey, don't let nobody close your mouth. Don't let no preacher come and, well, I think you're just a legalist because you've got all these convictions. I'm not a legalist, I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm free from it. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm free from it. You can say what you want to about preaching against it, but the only reason I cared anything about it is because somebody shook the fist in my face and said, that stuff is wrong.
Yeah.
Got a hold of the hem of his garment. He gave me the power to... I didn't quit it on my own.
That's right.
He either gives me the power to quit it or he gives me the idea that it's wrong so I can repent about it. One of those two things has to happen. Just run around and holler about it. Don't let nobody say, oh, you're just a legalist. Praise the Lord. I'm a legalist that's not drunk. Get your little Facebook friends on there nitpicking the preachers. Oh, I just can't stand all these preachers that are legalists. And these young preacher guys will get on Facebook and they'll say, well, I'm glad I'm not going to a legalist outfit and I'm glad I'm not in bondage to no man and all this stuff. And you get all these little groupie girls that get on, yay, Jesse, I'm so glad. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm so glad that you said that because I've been thinking the same thing. You know what I do? I click on their little profile and their profile will come out and it's usually George Strait on there. I'm so glad. Well, see, there it is. There it is right there. That's where it's at right there. Click on their little profile and they, you know, they run into the concert and they just got back from the, you know, from Joe's Bar and Grill last night where there was a great country music band playing. And I see why you don't like the preaching, because you've never been delivered. Now listen, I'll grant you, there are some Pharisees. I mentioned Jesse's name. Jesse got a lot of ideas and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, if you sit down and talk with him, he's got some good points about some things. But just a one-liner on Facebook about these bad legalist preachers, you're enabling a lot of dunces and dummies out there to say, yes, we knew that was wrong all along.
Right.
It's not wrong all along. It's not wrong to preach against sin. Hey, somebody stand up preaching against sin is the only thing that's going to run you to Jesus. We ain't got much more sense than them goats I was talking about this morning. We got to be herded.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Goat herders.
Yeah.
If you feel better, I'll call you a cow. The Lord, yeah, that's exactly right. Amen. One feller said jackass. When I was a boy, we had this horse pasture across the way. There's a jackass in there. You know what he done all day? I'd get up in the morning, get on the school bus, and that jackass would be standing over there in the corner right next to the water. The fence didn't go all the way to the water right there. And he'd be standing over there looking at it, looking at that water, just standing right there in the corner of that fence, just looking at the water. It's like, that old jackass is thirsty. Come home, get off the bus 9 hours later, and that jackass still standing right there in the corner looking at the water. That creek run right through the other side of the pasture. Same as a bunch of Christians I know. Speaking of that, you know what that mule's name was? Cupcake. That's that Facebook crowd right there. Little Cupcake, I'm sorry that I hurt your little feelings because I told you a black snake was choking your brains out. Honey, sweet thing. Come see my wife. She'll give you a spoonful of NyQuil and put you out of your misery. Amen. That's right. Got to be herded. All we like sheep have gone astray. If it wasn't for a shepherd somewhere, you'd be off somewhere else tonight. Probably drunk. If the Lord just gave you a King James Bible and turned you loose by yourself without a preacher, without a pastor, the Bible says a pastor and an evangelist and a teacher is a gift from God. And if you didn't have somebody to prod you, you'd be off somewhere drinking. Like, I don't find nothing in my Bible about beer. You know why that is? You never got that virtue. You never seen it as a problem. And listen, I don't know about you, but there is nothing like a problem that just persists, like my sermons. They persist, and they persist, and they persist, and they persist, and go on and on and on, and have a problem that you just can't whoop. Man, I've been fighting this for years, man. I've been trying to get the handle on this for years, and I just can't get no help. I tell you what, though, one day the Lord's going to come by, and if you're looking, well, I fought it for 5 years, and then I just said, forget about it. I'm never going to beat this problem. Keep fighting. Fight at year number 6. Fight at year number 7. Fight at year number 8. Eventually, you'll get mad at that thing. Most of the problems that you're having that's making you sick, spiritually and physically, a lot of the stuff is just because you don't hate the cause yet. I need it. Man, I need it. I remember used to ride by that grocery store and I'd look over there and I'd think to myself, man, I'm late for work, but my pockets, I ain't got no Copenhagen in my pocket, man. Do I be late for work or do I go without Copenhagen today? Well, turn around, go back. Because you got the idea you need it. The idea, boy, I got to have that. Boy, one of the greatest things in my life was when I said, you know what, those guys are, I thought about this, I said, those men and women working down there at the plant that makes that Copenhagen, they're down there mixing it up, and they're putting it in packages, and they're spending all this money to get it labeled just right. You know, they don't label it so it looks like a package of puke. And their only intention with that stuff is to get me addicted to it so I'll buy another can of it. And you see it kill person after person after person. You know what I come to the conclusion to? I had come to the conclusion that my old primitive Baptist great uncle, my daddy's uncle, he's old primitive Baptist and probably didn't go to church but about once a month. You know what I think? I think he had the right idea about it. If you want to chew tobacco, go grow it in your own backyard. Twist it and cure it and chew it yourself before they put all that junk in it that's going to kill you. He chewed it for 98 years, and that's not what killed him. Hey, if you can chew the kind that don't kill you, chew it out of both sides of your mouth for all I care. If you make me a can of Copenhagen that ain't going to kill me, I'd chew it. My wife wouldn't like it. But I got tired of fooling with death. I looked at that thing and said, man, this stuff right here is out to kill me. This stuff right here has got its arms around my neck choking the life out of me. I tell you what, you put your arms around my neck and try to choke the life out of me. I'm going to do my best to kill you. Self-defense, right? I've done exactly that. Amen. You're not going to get rid of something until you hate it. I've been having problems with it for 10 years. Give it another 2 years. Maybe you'll find a reason to hate that thing. Amen. One day, move of desperation. I don't know what I'm going to do today. Here comes this fellow down the street. All these people going, hey, over here, over here. Ladies, oh, I'm going to give it one more shot. And that's all it took. Grabbed a hold of him. All of her problems was done from then on out.
Amen.
Just get a hold of him one time with the right heart, with the right attitude, and he'll take care of whatever problem you got. I promise you that. I promise you that. You say, why would you think he'd do that? That's all he does. That's all he does. Jesus Christ was manifest to take away the sins of the world. The Bible also says he bore our griefs. The only reason there is a Jesus is because we've got problems and troubles, and his only purpose is to go from place to place and do all things well. If you met Jesus, he was probably coming back from helping somebody, and it was on his way to help somebody else. You was just lucky to get in on it. You was blessed. Can I use blessed instead of lucky? You was blessed to come by your way that day. And let me tell you this. If you've been saved, if God met you out someplace and all of a sudden your life was changed just like that, he'll meet you that way time and time again. And every time he comes by, you put your faith in him and he'll take care of another problem.
Amen.
Solve another riddle in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness. And I feel like giving an invitation here tonight, but Lord, I believe the message has been preached, and Lord, I know for myself.